G.I. Joe first came on the scene in 1964. He was a 12-inch action figure from Hasbro.
G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe, fighting man from head to toe, on the land, on the sea, in the air.
The original action figure cost less than $10. Paramount took in almost $55 million from the first weekend of G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, the movie. And taking a first look at it was a couple of people from Detroit. Teacher and artist John Wood, 41 years old. You went to go see the movie. Had you read any of the reviews before you went?
No, I did not read any of the reviews before I saw the film.
Because the best one I could find was G.I. Joe, not as bad as you might think. If you read a bad review of the film, would it have changed your decision to go see it?
Probably not.
Why not?
Well, you can't really out-Hollywood Hollywood, and you know going in that it's going to be a summer action Hollywood movie, and it's not going to be too much about the story. It's going to be great action, it's going to be great animation and graphics, so you know what you're going to get going in.
So no matter what the movie critics say, you wanted to go see G.I. Joe tearing it up on screen.
Pretty much.
The G.I. Joe movie, of course, was not really aimed at you. It was aimed...
40-year-old guys. Nah.
Yeah.
Who cares?
It was
forget
aimed at,
it.
At someone that you happened to have in the room with you, bringing in a 10-year-old expert on action movies based on toys, Grant Headley. Are you there?
Hi.
Did you go see the G.I. Joe movie?
Yeah.
And what did you think of it?
I loved it.
Why? What did you like in it?
Well, kind of hard. I mean, it was an action movie, but it still wasn't like too action. It was still had at least somewhat of a storyline, and like a lot of action movies I've seen, had really good special effects, a lot of things.
Enough explosions for you?
Yeah.
Oh, never enough explosions. Grant Headley, now, I'm noticing that you have the same name as my co-host here. Is it possible that your mom wouldn't have let you see this movie if she was in town and not visiting us here at the Takeaway?
She'd probably let me see it.
I think it's more likely to say your mom wouldn't go with you to see it. Is that right?
She doesn't seem like such a dud, Grant.
She probably would let me see it just... He would have someone else take me.
It was a kind of a kismet that the two of you ended up together because, John, as I understand, your wife didn't want to see this movie either.
Yeah, I think we all lucked out in this scenario.
It's a total happy ending.
A happy ending for all of us, including G.I. Joe.
Well, thanks for joining us. The approach to marketing G.I. Joe was very different for Paramount Pictures. They didn't let people see it. Influential.
Yeah, they didn't
people.
Want reviews.
Yeah,
no,
they
no,
didn't
no.
want people
no,
reviewing.
They just came to your house and did a focus group with those guys.
And to talk to us about this new approach is Ben Fritz. Ben Fritz is a reporter on the movie business from the LA Times. So, Ben, Paramount didn't let people review this movie before it was released. Is that right?
No, correct. They didn't allow print or broadcast media. They did let some fanboy websites review it.
Why did they do that?
Well, they're starting off a new franchise, and they feel like they got really burned on the Transformer 2 reviews. And they decided they would only basically let people review it who they were very confident would like it. And for the rest of the reviewers, they said you can see it with the teeny masses when it opens.
It didn't change the reviews, though. The nicest one I could find when I paged through Google was G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra, not as bad as you'd think.
Well, that's because you're looking through legitimate news sites, and that's very true. But if you were to look at some of the fanboy websites, you would find some much nicer reviews. But yeah, but print and broadcast media, they didn't find much to like.
Is there a different criteria for reviewing a movie like this? I mean, Transformers didn't need reviews to drive it.
Yeah, Transformers was a sequel. It's kind of Paramount's argument, whereas this was a new one, which kind of, people wouldn't be so sure what to think, so they wanted to really hold off the reviews as long as possible because people weren't sure what they were getting. You know, it's their movie. They can ultimately do what they want. You know, they're taking a risk, whether they'll be more...
It's a risk that paid off.
It's a risk that paid off pretty well. It wasn't a huge opening. It didn't start as well as, say, Star Trek, but it did pretty well. So it seems like it was probably a smart strategy for this movie, yeah.
But toys rule all of a sudden. Is Hollywood picking that up?
Hollywood is so picking up toys rule. Toys and video games. There's so many movies in development based on well-known brands. I think, when Hollywood, when they're going to spend, as they did on G.I. Joe, $175 million on production and another $150 to market it around the world, they don't like to take big risks. And if you can base it on a toy or a video game, a brand that people already know, it makes them feel safer. Believe it or not, there's a movie in development based on What do you call it? You know that little the Viewmaster.
The Viewmaster.
There's a Viewmaster movie in development.
That's cool.
I wish I could make that up.
I love that. Yeah, I mean,
he says that's cool. I'm thinking what?
Oh, that's fantastic. I mean, they don't have to be action figures. I mean, you could theoretically have a movie between Xbox and PS2, right?
Oh yeah. Oh, there's so many video game movies in development.
I would never go see that.
Well, I think did you go see G.I. Joe?
Yeah.
There's my case made. Exactly. So where can it stop? I mean, are there toys that they would stay away from? And does this affect the ability of a studio to make money on the plush, on the sort of marketing deals? Because the toy is wagging the dog here.
I don't know how far they would go. They would go with anything they think, you know, is well-known enough. I mean, it's true. On the one hand, the studio doesn't make as much licensing money as if it's all based on their own IP, their own property. But it's safer. And, you know, if they make the big movie and they help revive the toys, they get an interest in that. You know, Paramount, there's a whole new toy line based on the new G.I. Joe movie, and even though Hasbro owns G.I. Joe, Paramount gets an interest in those toy sales.
Okay, Ben Fritz, thanks so much for talking with you. Fritz reports for the LA Times.
A movie about the Viewmaster. I love that. I loved
You're
Viewmaster.
Crazy.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.